I live in Israel. This season is dedicated to the memory of the 1,400 of my countrymen who were massacred on October 7th and the 240 people that were kidnapped and are being held hostage by the terrorist organization Hamas. Hopefully they will be returned to their families as soon as possible, and hopefully this terrible war will be able to come to a peaceful end very soon. Hello everyone, and welcome to Minute 23 of Season 6 of Movie on Minute, the daily podcast where we take a Capra-esque journey through the 1946 classic, It's a Wonderful Life, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Tierney Steele of the Apocalypse Now Minute. Welcome back to the show, Tierney.
Well, thank you for having me back for the minute of all minutes.
Yes, the minutes of all minutes where we only have one person. We only have one person talk the entire minute. And we don't even know who it is.
And yet, a no-name person.
Yeah, I was actually, right before we started recording, I was looking once again to see if I can find if he's listed uncredited in IMDb. And there's no way of knowing. It doesn't say, like, guy with key or something like that, So, there's someone named Charlie and there's someone named Mickey. So it could be one of those, but I don't know.
It's not Alfalfa.
No.
That's all we got for you.
That's right. And so, minute 23 begins with couples continuing to continue to dance, and ends with George and Mary continuing to be oblivious. I mean, we talked earlier in the week of how oblivious they are how oblivious George at least is of Mary and her love for him. This goes to show that once their eyes are locked,
they're well matched.
They're just completely oblivious to everything else. So who knows?
I had that written down under tomorrow's notes, but yes, it does start here. The fashion, this is like fashion minute, I feel like, for this week. Because I always think of those socks and pants that Sam was wearing as like golfing attire.
Yeah, it looks a little strange.
And then
what's great is that, it starts off by showing all these different couples dancing. We see the principal walking around, with his hands in his pockets to try to, see who's dancing and who's, who needs to get tapped out. And then there's a couple there where you see he's a really, really big guy, and you see like the bib of his tuxedo is like flapping out. It just looks really, really funny the way that it is. Cause the girl that he's dancing with, it looks tiny. I actually know a couple who, he must be like 6'5" and, 250 pounds, and she is like 5 feet tall, and whenever I see them, they've been married now for probably 25 years, if not longer. And it's just funny just looking at the two of them because they look so mismatched, but if it works, it works. So this couple sort of reminded me of them. And then we see the principal walk over to a couple, and for the first time watching this, after seeing this movie so many times, this is the first time I actually noticed that this is actually Violet.
Yeah.
And Violet is dancing with Sam. That's Sam Wainwright. The two of them are dancing together.
Would Violet and Sam have been a good couple?
Quite possibly. I mean, they're dancing up a storm. I think Violet might have been quite happy knowing how Sam, turns out. Because he becomes a millionaire, she would be very happy. But we end up meeting Sam's wife later on. I'm trying to remember if we even told her name. I don't even know if she has any. I think she does have like one line where she says, "You should come visit us," or something like that.
Yeah.
it's when
But it's one of those, you know,
it was
who
a
knows what
throwaway
might have
line.
been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Well, that's why, like, when I write, because I write stories about teenagers, and I've many times gotten the note like, oh, do these two people end up together? And I'm like, oh, no. And readers are like, what? Why? And I'm like, because most people don't marry someone they knew in high school. I mean, like, not that that never happened. Obviously, tons of people marry people they knew in high school, but like, most people go on with their lives and meet someone somewhere else.
Right. And as
So.
movies tell us, most most couples that are, the king and the queen of the prom, that, their marriages don't last. At least is what
Yeah.
movies say. Whether
But
in real
I
life, obviously
just
it's
seeing them dancing together, I'm like, you know, they're friendly, they're from the same place, but they're both super ambitious. I wonder if Violet and Sam could have had like a nice life together. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Very possible. And it's just really, really weird because the principal goes over and taps Violet, right? And he like points at her feet and like laughs, and she laughs back. And then she gives him a hug, and then she turns back and they continue dancing. So was she tapped out or not? Was it that I'm tapping you out, and then she gives, the principal a hug, and then he's like, okay, continue. I don't know.
Well, so many of them, it's like they're not doing the char I mean, like they're dancing to the beat, but they're not doing the Charleston step. So, like, I was trying to figure out, like, is that what he was tapping out? Like, bye. You know you're not doing it. She's like, I know. I'm just having fun.
And he's like, okay, keep having fun.
You're out of the race for the loving cup that no one actually wants.
Exactly. And then the shot changes and we see George and Mary dancing, but only George is really dancing because, he's got his hands on his knees and moving back and forth, and she's,
What is
I
that
have no idea, and she's clapping and dancing around and like running around him in circles, and she's looking at another couple who are dancing as if
called?
to maybe copy what they're doing, but
Because he's doing his own thing.
the other girl isn't running around the guy. George and the guy are both doing the same crazy thing with their knees.
I mean, that was like a cool move, and I think Mary kind of like panics and does that. Who amongst us have not panicked our way into a really bad dance move in our lives? And then maybe her looking at it and be like, "Oh God, I know I'm not supposed to be doing this. What am I supposed to be doing?" So she's looking at the other couple maybe to get some inspiration, but they just seem to be having a real good time.
That's right. And they're enjoying themselves, and I think that's the important thing, isn't it? And then the shot changes, and we see Alfalfa sitting there daydreaming lovingly, making it seem as if he's staring at Mary. And then a friend, or I assume it's a friend of his, comes up to him and says, "What's the matter, Othello? Jealous." Now, what's great is that when I looked on IMDb, what is Alfalfa's character's name in the movie, according to IMDb? He is known as Freddy Othello.
Okay, so it's not like a play to make me feel uneducated for not remembering anything about Othello. Like that legit just might be his name.
Apparently, yeah. I mean, Othello, for anyone who doesn't know, is a tragic play written by Shakespeare. It's assumed that it was written in 1603, and it revolves around two main characters, Othello and Iago. And so Othello is a military commander who's a Moor, who is serving as a general in the army that's trying to defend Cyprus against the Ottoman Turks. And he was married to Desdemona, who is a Venetian woman who is much younger than he is. And apparently her father doesn't know that the two of them get married. And then his second in command, named Iago, is is basically gets him jealous, and it until the point where Othello actually ends up killing his wife when during rage. And the whole story deals with passion, jealousy, and obviously the whole issue of race. And I thought the connection here was because of the jealousy. The whole idea. I mean, one of the most famous lines of Othello is, "Oh, beware, my lord, of jealousy. It is the green-eyed monster which doth mock the meat it feeds on." So.
And I would love it if that was their Shakespeare play that year. When I was in high school, every year there was a Shakespeare, like freshman year was Romeo and Juliet, sophomore year I'm blanking on, junior year was Julius Caesar, and senior year was Hamlet. Why can't I remember what year? But that became like the cultural touchstone of the year because everyone had read it and had to study it. So I would love it if they just finished reading Othello like 2 weeks before this happened.
Oh wow. Yeah,
And
that
he's
would have been
like,
great.
ah, he's jealous. I can make a reference. I'm so smart.
Yeah. And so
I can make a reference. We're about to meet Chekhov's swimming pool.
there you go. Actually, would you call
Because
it,
I did not realize.
would you call it Chekhov's swimming pool? Because it doesn't show up later. It's right here.
No, I would call it because it's already showed up here. I did not realize until watching it for this project, but last week, is it the principal said to him, "Hey, George, what a great idea to put the swimming pool under
Ah, okay, that's what you're referring to.
the
Right.
gymnasium. It saved us a building." So it was George's idea to put the swimming pool here
Correct.
that he's
Yes.
about to get dunked in.
Yeah, we actually discussed that last week about whether when the principal says that, is he saying that it was George's idea, or is he just mentioning to George, wow, this was such a great idea? Because it doesn't say you had a great idea. He just says it was a great idea. So it could be interpreted both ways. I like the fact that it was George who was the one who suggested it. Because which sort of makes sense if he's been working in the building alone for a few years.
Yes, and he's interested in building for himself, not just the loan side,
That's right.
he has an interest in architecture and stuff, so it would make sense that he would be like, "Hey, I have this great idea." You're
That's right.
right. I guess it doesn't say you had a great idea, but I was like, "Oh, George, you're
Yeah,
about
for sure.
to."
No. We again, as I said, we talked about it last week because it makes so much sense that that's what it is. So I'm actually now going to call this other character Iago because it makes sense to call him that since he doesn't have a name. And he says to Freddy, he goes, "Did you know there's a swimming pool under this floor? And did you know that button behind you causes this floor to open up? And did you further know that George Bailey is dancing right over that crack?" And then he gives a little bit of a smirk and goes, "And I've got the key." And he shows a little bit of a key.
Which I found very strange because it's like that button over there, and here's the key. And I'm like, and they show like, oh, he has to unlock the little door. But I don't know. It was just, this was written for effect, not practical description of what you needed to do.
That's right. That's right. But it's
Because,
great the way that it plays out.
yes.
You know,
But I'm
they
like, what do you need a key for?
Yeah.
But it was a button. And then we
Maybe
have.
back then that's what it is, you know.
No, I think it's one of those like in the elevator, like you have to turn the key to be able to press, like, so no one, and not just anyone could walk over and press the button and open up the swimming pool. I get
That's
that.
right.
That seems like a
Yes.
reasonable safety feature. As someone who was stage manager and totally had keys to the school, man, I relate to this character so much, where it's like, I am drunk on power of being an 18-year-old with key, or 17-year-old or 18-year-old. I was 17 when I graduated. With keys, I had keys to the door to the music hall, the auditorium, and the prop room within it.
Oh wow.
And I thought I was
So
hot
in other words,
SHIT.
you need to be good friends with Tierney. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, yeah, the fact that he's just like, and I've got the key. I'm like,
That's
oh, you think you're so
right.
cool. And then I love
And
Lucy
it shows,
Coal.
once again, and it shows how great of a friend Iago must be of Othello, you know, that he's willing to do this for his friend. Because, you know, they never show us the repercussions of what happens here, you know, but someone is
No.
going to try to figure out later what exactly happened. You know, like, where did this key come from? And, you know, is it a key that once you turn it, you can pull it out? Or do you have to leave the key in the, you know, or is it stuck in the lock until you turn it
Or
again?
just leave it, or just leave it there.
That's right.
I mean, they're not destined for fingerprints. This guy probably figured, like, whatever, I graduated, I'm out of here. You can't do anything to me now.
That's true.
My high school is like, I graduated last week. You know, like, oh, you're suspended. I graduated last week. You can't. Oh, it's American Graffiti, actually.
There
You look like a duck. I love this between the leg shot when the
Oh, it
bowl
is
starts
such a
opening.
great shot. It is such a great
Ooh,
shot.
it's a good one.
That's right. They show us the floor, they show someone dancing, and then they show the floor beginning to open up. You know, this is like an Indiana Jones shot, you know, where normally, and they also they want to make you think at the beginning that this is actually George. You know, but that's part of
That's
the
right,
whole
because it's
joke
just
here. That's
black
part of the whole
family.
joke that it's not George. You know, it's, you know, they, because he says, do you want to get, you know, and did you further know that George Bailey is standing right over that crack? And
Yeah.
then they show us the crack and they show it opening up, and you think to yourself, oh, now it's going to open and George Bailey is going to fall in. And then we see
Yep.
that it's not George, you know, but
This person hops to safety and
that's right. Which,
on we
you know,
go.
he takes a little bit of time, you know, before you know, before he hops the safety. You know,
Yeah.
he's starting to do a split there.
Well, I think there's a moment of like, oh God, which side do I jump to?
Well, where's the girl I'm dancing with? You know, I think that's more of the question here, you know. And we actually do see that, you know, at the beginning his feet are next to a girl on the right-hand side. So he does go to the right, he goes to the correct side.
There's a moment of panic. Fair
Yes,
enough. Fair enough.
that's right. And
But yeah, this.
then we see George and Mary dancing, and we see behind them the floor starting to open up. Now, you know that this is real. This is a real school that has that they had this. This is apparently, I don't know if you can say it's one of a kind, but it's one of the few places where they actually did this. This is the known as the swim gym of Beverly Hills High School in LA. Were you familiar with that?
I knew that this was a real thing
Right.
that really exists.
So basically, it's a basketball court that underneath has the swimming pool. Basically, you have the basketball court is divided along the center line, and each half is anchored to rows of 2x4s that have steel beams. The court opens at the turn of a key. Motors roll. The platforms underneath the arena bleachers, where huge exhaust fans mitigate moisture, and then you have a 5-foot drop. And then there's a swimming pool below it.
Which I get that, like he says, oh, it saved me another building, but this is such an engineering project.
Yes.
Surely this has to be like as expensive as a second building.
That's right. They claim that when they installed this, it actually not a single person fell in, you know, while they were doing this whole excavations, this engineering project. All right. And
Yeah.
so you have, obviously, it's the Beverly Hills High School, and they actually built this in 1927.
All right.
So, you know,
More historical accuracy for you.
that's right. There you go. And basically, I came across a list of so many famous people who actually went to Beverly Hills High and actually graduated from it. So I'll just quickly go through some of them, some of the ones that jumped out. So Jack Abramoff, do you know who that is? He was a political
No, I don't.
activist and businessman who was eventually convicted of high-profile political scandals. You know, he was paying off, he was bribing a lot of politicians and stuff like that. Both Desi Arnaz Jr. and Lucy Arnaz went there. Corbin Burnson from LA Law, Albert Brooks, Nicolas Cage, Richard Chamberlain graduated from there. Jackie Cooper, another one of the, he's actually part of the Our Gang crew. Roger Corman, Jamie Lee Curtis, Richard Dreyfuss. There you go, back to back to your connections. Nora Ephron graduated there. Carrie Fisher. Who else is on this list? We have Crispin Glover from Back to the Future. Graduated there. Angelina Jolie. Julie Kavner. You mentioned earlier this week about The Simpsons. So we have that. Lenny Kravitz. Monica Lewinsky. Who else do we have here on this list? Eric Menendez. You know who that is? One of
Why do I know that name?
he's one of two brothers. He and his brother Lyle, they murdered their parents in 1993. Sorry,
Okay. I
1989.
was like,
They murdered their parents
I
in
knew the
1989.
Menendez brothers, but I was like, why are they famous? Why can't I remember what they
Yes.
did?
Rob Reiner. So there, you know, we have Rob Reiner and Nora Ephron went there. So that's pretty interesting, actually. But there's a 6-year difference between them, so they were not there at the same time. David Schwimmer, both Richard and Robert Sherman. Do you know who they are?
The Sherman Brothers.
Yes. Where are they from?
The writer, the music writers.
That's right. The composers of
Sherman Brothers.
Mary Poppins, Pauly Shore, Jonathan Silverman, Slash, Tori Spelling, surprisingly, you know, Beverly Hills High, could be. Betty White actually graduated from there.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the most of the famous people. I mean, there's tons of other people that are on this list, but you know, I just went with the ones that jumped out as people that most people would recognize, you know, more simply. And you know, as we see the two of them dancing, and in the background, the pool opening up or the floor opening up behind them. So the minute ends. Did you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
No, all
They're going to
set.
keep us
Ready
in
for the excitement tomorrow.
suspense to see what's going to happen. Yeah. So every Wednesday we have a segment called It's a Wonderful Wednesday, where this is actually a segment that I do. And the idea is that ever since the movie It's a Wonderful Life came out, there are many movies and largely TV shows that have used the same premise and tried it with the characters in that particular you know, movie or TV show to see what their lives would be like had something changed, whether it's that they didn't exist, and sometimes it's, you know, whether they would have made a different decision in life, you know, what path it would have taken them to and stuff like that. So Tierney, I must apologize. I looked high and low to see if MASH had one of those, and they don't. So I came as close as
No.
possible by picking something that has a character or one of the actors in this TV show that I'm going to talk about was on one episode of MASH. That's as close as I got. So I apologize in advance. Are you familiar with the TV show Charles in Charge?
I don't think I ever watched it. I think I just knew it existed.
Okay, so Charles in Charge is a TV show from the late 1980s, starring Scott Baio, and you know, from Happy Days fame, and it ran for 5 seasons, and they had 126 episodes of this TV show, and on the 100th episode, which w came out in on the 4th of November 1989. They had an episode called It's a Blunderful Life, Okay, the premise of the TV show is you have this college student named Charles, who, in order to be able to pay his tuition, moves in to be the nanny of this rich couple who have two sons and a daughter. And then after the first season, they switched it to a different family who have two daughters and a son. So whatever. And in the latter part of the show, so the family that was there, they had the grandfather living with them also. And the grandfather was played by an actor named James T. Callahan, who was in one episode of MASH, which again, my assumption is I'll be very shocked if you
Everyone
actually,
was in one episode of MASH.
that's probably true. That's probably true. I'd be really surprised if you actually knew which, knew who his character was in the episode of MASH that he appears in. He was in an episode in 1973, in the
Nice,
first season.
early.
He was actually in the first season, in an
Okay.
episode called Sometimes You Hear the Bullet.
Oh, God, that's a great episode.
And he plays a character named Tommy Gillis.
Wow. He's important to like MASH
Oh,
lore.
wait a second. That's also the episode that Ron Howard was in.
Yeah. That's like, wow. All right. All right. It's a better title anyway. Okay, so now I can picture him. Yes.
Oh, really? Okay. I actually now need to go see this episode. Wow. The MASH
Oh,
episode.
yeah,
No, the MASH
no.
episode I didn't watch. I watched the Charles in Charge
Yeah.
episode. Oh, wow. Actually, you want to tell us about
Yeah,
that MASH
no, it's a
episode or not?
wonderful episode. It's
It's a wonderful episode.
so Tommy Gillis, it is a wonderful episode. Tommy Gillis is a friend of Hawkeye's who is a war correspondent, a reporter on the front lines. He's writing a book called, is it supposed to be called You Don't Hear, Sometimes You Hear, You Don't Hear the Bullet? I don't remember what it
No,
is.
well, the name of the
His whole
episode
point
is
is that
Sometimes You Hear the Bullet. So I'm assuming that
I
that's the
know,
name
and
of
so
it.
that's what's messing me up. So the whole idea is he wants to write a book that's about like the real thing of war. You know, like you know, in the movies, you hear the bullet and the guy looks down and there's blood on his chest and he falls over. And he's like, you know, I've now been in war. It's not like that. It's not like that. And he visits Hawkeye. The parallel storyline is that Ron Howard has been injured and is in the MASH and is recovering or you know goes through surgery. The Hawkeye finds out, I think it's Hawkeye, probably Alan Alda, that the Ron Howard character is actually only a teenager. He stole his brother's birth certificate to join up when he's too young. And he doesn't want to be sent home. Don't send me home. Don't send me home. Send me back to my unit. I got to go back to the guys. And Tommy Gillis comes in injured, is operated on, and he says to one of the last things he says is like, I heard the bullet. He's like, so you'll call it some, you know, it's a better title anyway. He doesn't make it, and in a fit of I couldn't save him, but I'll save you,
Who doesn't
Hawkeye
make it?
reports
Who
Ron
doesn't make it?
Howard as being underage.
Okay.
Tommy Gillis,
Tommy Gillis
this
doesn't make
guy.
it. Okay.
And so he reports Ron Howard and is like, this is a kid who's underage who can't be here, send him home to his mom and dad. And Ron Howard has this amazing, like, I'll never forgive you for this. And he goes, but I'll forgive my, you know, like, I, again, it's that I couldn't save him, but I'm going to save you and get you out of here thing. So it's really good. And it's just beautifully acted.
Wow.
And I'm
Oh,
sorry I've spoiled the ending for you
no,
for
not at
anyone
all,
who's
not at
like
all.
done
That's,
watching it.
I mean, I'm reading on IMDb about it, so I knew sort of some of the of what happens there. But one of the things that they say here also is this was one of the first serious episodes of the show, which later on,
It
it
probably
turned,
was. Yeah.
yeah. Okay, so
Which, like,
yeah.
yeah.
No, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
No, I just want to say people always say, like, oh, it got so serious and boring. I'm like, no, it always had serious episodes in there. Just, you know, the tone changed. The whole series, the whole tone of the show changed, not just individual episodes. So, anyway.
Right. Okay, so back to Charles in Charge, which features James Callahan, as the grandfather, Walter Powell. So this episode basically is that Charles is getting annoyed at the three kids in the house because they are constantly doing things that are, go against the rules of the house, but the grandfather still he himself breaks these rules also. You know, meaning that you're not supposed to eat outside of the kitchen, and the grandfather eats out of the kitchen. So the kid wants to know how come he can't eat out of the kitchen. The grandfather makes well, it makes models using glue. You know, in places, in certain places, doesn't clean up after himself. And one of the girls is painting her toenails and or painting her fingernails, and you know she wants to know how come she can't do it if he can do the same thing. You know, things like that, and. And then Charles gets a little upset that one of the the son wants to learn how to he wants to start going to gamble or to make bets, and he doesn't want to let him do it, and the grandfather wants to go bet. And then they show them in a convenience store, and the convenience store owner wants to try and sell them a lottery ticket, and the grandfather wants to buy one, and Charles convinces him not to buy it. And then we have a cameo of Donnie Most in this episode, who anyone who is familiar with Happy Days, that was Ralph Mouth in Happy
Okay.
Days. And he shows up and he decides to buy that ticket. And then as he scratches it, he finds out that he won $100,000. So the grandfather is obviously very upset, you know, that this was supposed to be his ticket and he could have won it. And then Charles tries to figure out how he can go and repay the grandfather for the fact that he lost $100,000, and he finds out that he has an insurance policy that he could get rid of that has double indemnity if he gets hit by a gets hit by a car or something like, I think, or maybe he's hit by a garbage truck or something like that. I don't know. And then Charles has a dream and he wakes up and sees that he no longer exists and that he died right before the grandfather bought that ticket because he got hit by a garbage truck. And everyone constantly keeps mentioning, oh, we used to have, you know, a servant named Charles, because they then became wealthy and everyone became very snobbish in the family. And, you know, Charles didn't like the way that everyone was acting at this point. You know, if Charles wasn't around, he wouldn't have been the one to, you know, he wouldn't have been able to stop them all from becoming these snobby people who they own like a gambling place that they're cheating people out of their money and stuff like that. And then he wakes up from the dream, and everyone in the family says that they thought about it and they want to apologize to Charles because they know that he's right. I mean, it's a very simple way to look at the whole thing, but it's just very funny. You know, the way that they do this. And then they see Donnie Most once again in like the hamburger joint, and he says and he runs out to go cash in his winnings, and then he gets hit by a garbage truck and he ends up dying.
Oh,
Yeah.
jeez
So
Louise.
and then during the credits they actually have, you know, a little bit of a joke there where Scott Baio, who plays Charles, actually directed this episode also. And he's there trying to convince two of the other characters, you know, that this is just a TV show and that he's not Charles. His real name is Scott Baio. And the two of them don't believe him. They think that, you know, they still pretend that they are the characters in the show. So whatever, it's an okay tribute to It's a Wonderful Life, but you know, I liked some of the nuances that they did there about the fact that, you know, that the insurance policy and, you know, things like that. But obviously, It's a Wonderful Life is much better than what they do with this particular episode. But it was still nice to rewatch it. I hadn't seen it probably in 30, was it 34 years since it came out. So that was probably the last time I saw it. So it was nice seeing it once again. And
Cool.
that's today's segment. So Tierney, you why don't you tell everyone where they how they can get in touch with Tierney Steele?
The best way is to go to onesteelsister.com, onestelesaster. That has, you can email me through their social media, although I have not checked Twitter in a very long time. But it has links to, I did a Movies by Minute on the movie MASH, MASH Minute, which I roped my co-host Megan into, she originally thought we were going to talk about the TV show. And
it's never too late. It's never too late.
Summer 2024, I will be doing a not quite movies by minute, but a one song at a time of Dirty Dancing. So if you like listening to me talk about people dancing in movies, boy, howdy, have I got a podcast for you coming out soon.
Are you going to have videos of you dancing as a kid, doing dances from Dirty Dancing?
As far as I know, those do not exist unless I have blacked it out.
Well, no, you did mention you have video somewhere of you doing the Charleston. So I thought maybe, you know,
the Charleston. Yeah, it's not really a Dirty Dancing era. but yeah.
Great. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Your Own Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me on my website, moveyourownminute.com. So until tomorrow, hot dog.
Hot dog.
I love you truly, truly dear. Life with its sorrow, life with its tears.